Welcome in to another edition of Locked On Titans. I'm Jimmy Morris, joined as always by Terry Lambert. Terry, how are you tonight?
Doing good. It's draft week. Excited.
Draft week. It's a long time coming. Luckily this year, the Titans played a couple of extra weeks during the season, so we didn't start talking about it as early as we normally do, which is a good thing. And we'll get into that a little bit more as we go through the podcast tonight. Before we do that, remind you that we write for MusicCityMiracles.com, covering the Titans for SB Nation. So you can check us out there. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMorrisMCM. Terry's at TLambertFB. Podcast account at Locked On Titans. You can subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts. So check us out there. So like I said, it's draft week. And, I've been writing at MusicCityMiracles.com since 2006. And just offhand, before we started, we were kind of talking about how many times the Titans have picked outside of the top 15 in that time period, and it's been four or five. So this is uncharted territory for us, because even last year, obviously, the Titans had 18 based on what they did in the regular season, but they had the Rams pick in the first round, so they had five, so they took Corey Davis. So even last year, when they were successful, they still had an early pick. So it's a different world that we're living in right now, and it's a good thing, obviously. If you're picking later in the draft, obviously that means your team was more successful. So hopefully this is something that we have to get used to going forward, success on the field, so that would be nice. But it makes talking about the draft and predicting who they're going to pick and evaluating guys that are going to be there and all that kind of stuff a little bit more complicated. So it's been a different process this time going through it. But like I said, it's a good problem to have.
Have you ever been less confident? I mean, I'm clueless. I don't. It seemed like we had a good idea about Josh Sweat, but now you hear John Robinson's comments the other day with the press conference, and it sounds like he's wanting to move back. And you've got the thing coming out with Josh Sweat and on with the medical concerns, and take that with a grain of salt. It is draft week, so general rule of thumb is to not believe anything until Thursday, but. Consider that and consider falling down the board a little bit due to medicals. And I don't know where the Titans are going to go at pick 25. I don't know. It feels strange. Just looking around the internet today, you've got mock drafters giving them centers and pass rushers. Harold Landry is still popping up on the board. So Sam Hubbard's still in play. It just seems totally, totally wide open, and really never been through a draft season like this.
Yeah, and last year, I mean, we had a lot of talk about, like, Marshawn Lattimore, for instance, in the mix at five. And we thought that was a possibility, but what we did know last year was that they were going to come out of the first round with a receiver and a corner. I mean, that was a pretty much a given. Now, I mean, again, obviously, if at 18 there had been some crazy value that would have fallen there that was really high on their board, they probably could have gone a different direction than Adoree Jackson, who they ended up picking at 18. But we knew they had two huge needs last year. They don't have, I mean, outside of edge rusher, they don't have a glaring need this year. So that obviously complicates the conversation a little bit. And like you said, I mean, it's just you see these guys all over the boards. And then there was the reports last week that Harold Landry was rising up boards. And we've been talking about really since before the combine. We said that if Harold Landry went to the combine and tested well, there was no way he was going to be there at 25. And like I said last week, everybody's like, oh, he's rising up boards. Well, no, he's not. The draft evaluators are just catching up to where NFL teams have been on him all along. Because, I mean, I firmly believe, and you can tell me if you feel differently here, but I firmly believe that that players don't rapidly rise up boards this time of year. I mean, I think the combine can move the needle a little bit, pro day, sure, all that kind of stuff. But especially by, the beginning of April, teams pretty much have their board set. Now, if they find out something medical from the combine or a drug test or, whatever, there's obviously those types of things that can affect where a guy is. But it's not like there are NFL draft evaluators that are sitting in a room in April and all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, this guy looks really good on film. He can actually play. So whenever you hear that kind of stuff, to me, it's just like people that are trying to evaluate guys, whether it be on Twitter or whatever it is, it's those guys catching up to where NFL teams already are.
Yeah, I think the Senior Bowl can give you a boost, and I think the Combine can really open some eyes if you go out there and put together, you know, one of those classic workout warrior type performances. I think that can shoot you up a board. But for the most part, the hay's in the barn. I mean, these scouting departments start in May. You know, this draft will end. They'll take a week off, if that, and they'll start doing work on the next class, and they'll have a board set, and they'll rearrange through the fall as new tape arrives, but everything's ready to go in January. So, yeah, I think it's just the media having this idea of where a player is slated, and then they're being told, hey, you're wrong. We've got a player that's going to go here instead of where you've got him. So, and, you know, like Ian Rappaport, last week, you said it. Harold Landry is rising up draft boards. No, he's not. He was never rising up draft boards. He's always been there. So the only question he had to answer was medical. It seemed like he did that at the combine. So, yeah, it's always funny this time of year. But I do think there's some legitimacy to some combine risers and some Senior Bowl risers. But outside of that, Hayes in the barn.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I mean, you mentioned the stuff on Sweat, the medical stuff that has come out over the last couple of days, the issue with his knee. But again, that's not new. So, I mean, I guess, you know, if it was worse at the combine than what teams expected it to be, but that's not information. I don't think that's the last couple of days has become available to them. Leighton Vander Esch is the other guy that there's been some rumblings of. You know, him having some type of medical issue. I think Mayock this week speculated on his conference call that it's a cervical issue. But like, you know, we don't know these things for sure. And so, you know, again, I thought it was weird when the Titans canceled, you know, I guess reportedly the visit that Vander Esch was supposed to have here because they thought he'd be off the board at 25. I mean, they brought in some guys that are not going to be on the board at 25. So maybe there's something to that. But like you said, it's just so hard right now to discern what is true and what isn't. And we see it every year. I mean, there's a guy that slides down the draft boards because there's some type of medical thing that the general public doesn't know about, that teams know about. So, I mean, that guy could be Vander Esch this year, sure. But I don't know. I'm just not sure. I don't know. There's nothing like concrete enough at this point for me to be confident that's what's going to happen. And again, like you said, there's just stuff. There's stuff putting out. Teams are putting out stuff because they want a guy to fall to them. Agents are putting out stuff because they want their guy to go higher, or you know they're putting out something about another player at a similar at the same position so that their guy will go over that guy. I mean, there's just all kinds of different stuff that's floating around right now, and you know, like you said, I mean, it's so hard to tell. So all this stuff is just kind of noise, really, until Thursday, and then we kind of see what happens. But you mentioned before we jumped on here that the Vegas over-under for Trey, would you say like 7.5?
7.5, yeah.
In the first round. So, I mean, there's going to be some crazy stuff that happens. And so that always makes it more exciting and, you know, makes it fun to watch. And a lot of it I will depend on, you know, where those quarterbacks go early in draft.
Yeah, and I think that's where we can start talking about the Titans trading down. You get to that sixth quarterback off the board. You start talking about Mason Rudolph. There's a player that could play into the Titans' draft plans. The Titans aren't going to take him, obviously. But someone could want to come up and get him, get that fifth-year option, secure that quarterback without paying the premium of a top-five pick. There's a option for the Titans to trade down. I don't. It's so hard to pinpoint positional players. You know, it seems like we try to do that every year. You just don't know what teams are going to like. But with quarterbacks, you kind of have an idea. You saw it with, I believe, Teddy Bridgewater a couple of years ago. So stuff like that happens. It's a routine thing. That could be where the Titans get their extra picks from if they go that route. And you know, look, you listen to John Robinson, and he's all about the picks. You know, we know that. He wants his draft capital. He wants to be able to maneuver around and get the guys he wants. So if this deal with Sweat is legit and he's going to go in the second round, you don't have to spend pick 25 on him, and the Titans feel comfortable enough leaving him on the board, I think that's an avenue he's going to explore. So, and real quick on Josh Sweat, he blew out his left knee a couple years ago, and apparently Florida State held him out of practices and didn't let him practice every day. So that's where the concern's coming from. But, again, consider the timing, consider it's draft week. Why have we not heard this before? So it just sounds like someone, a team, maybe even like the Titans, that are just kind of trying to push him down the board.
Yeah, like you said, Mason Rudolph, Lamar Jackson even. I mean, I think the buzz on him now is that he's going to go in the top 20. But if those guys start to come down the board, I mean, I think Mason Rudolph will be there. But, you know, if one of those two guys is still there at 25, then that gives, like you said, if it's the Giants, if they take Saquon Barkley at 2, then, you know, they may want a guy. And like you said, that fifth-year option is so valuable, especially when it comes to quarterbacks. You just get that extra year to evaluate a guy. So, yeah, I think that's absolutely in play. And like I mean, I said last week, and, you know, when you hear John Robinson talk, he sounds different when he's talking about picking up extra picks. I think he likes to have that. He talks about, you know, the draft currency all the time. So, I mean, I think in an ideal world, unless there's, you know, there's probably two or three players that he has, you know, kind of circled that if one of these guys is there, we're going to take him. We think he's going to go, you know, top 20, but if he slides to us, we'll be happy to take him. Outside of that, if all those guys are gone, then I think he'd be perfectly happy to trade down, pick up a 2 and a 3, or, you know, whatever it would be, depending on how far he's going to move down, to get the extra picks, and then you can kind of build your team that way. I mean, I think it's worth the conversation as far as how far would they be willing to trade down. We were kind of talking about that before we came on. I wouldn't think he'd be willing to go much, much lower than the top 10 of the second round. Like you said, I mean, the Giants, for instance, are just a team that makes a lot of sense. They have the second pick of the second round, obviously after having pick number 2. So they need a quarterback. Now, I don't know if they realize that or not, but even if they think Eli's still got something left, they need their guy for the future. They need to start, you know, getting him embedded in the system. So that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, again, that wouldn't be too far to move. But I don't think he wants to go much further down. So anyway, keep an eye on all that. Coming up, we will give kind of our final predictions as far as what we think is going to happen on Thursday night. All right, so I will start off here. I'm going with Josh Sweat. I think that, you know, obviously the Titans have had him in. They've shown some interest in him. I think that when you look at what he was able to do in college, and they obviously used him a bunch of different ways in that Florida State defense, and maybe not optimally all the time, and definitely differently than what the Titans would use him for if they got him here. I just think the ceiling on him is so high. He's an athletic freak. We've talked a lot about that, and that's what you need at that position. You want obviously some numbers and that kind of stuff too, but you want an athlete, and he's definitely that. So I just think he's a guy that makes a lot of sense. They need edge rusher more than anything else, a lot more than anything else at this point. And he's a guy that has the ability to come in and make an immediate impact and make a, you know, dramatic immediate impact. The other guy that you're starting to see a little bit of buzz on, and they're starting to see that Sam Hubbard is who we're talking about here. And he's been mentioned. He was mentioned early in the process, especially. Now, kind of as it's gone along, he's you know, gone down the big boards that you see. So you're not seeing a lot of buzz for him at 25. But I mean, if you're choosing between those two guys, give me the guy that has the higher ceiling. Give me the guy that's a ton more athletic. That's what I would want. That's what I hope that they would be willing to do. And I'll say this, if Sam Hubbard is still available in the second round, even if they took Josh Sweat in the first round, I'd be okay with that. We've talked a lot about how you've got Arakpo and Morgan in the final years of their deal, and obviously guys that have been in the league for a long time, so probably in the twilight of their careers, you're going to have to replace both of them over the next couple of years. I wouldn't be upset if they went with two edge guys in the first two rounds, because I think that is a need. I think they could help him in 2018, and I think it would definitely be beneficial in 2019. But at 25, give me Josh Sweat.
I agree. If they stay at 25, I'll predict a trade. I'll predict a trade back. And then I'll predict, I don't know where, I don't know what pick they're going to end up with, but I think Sam Hubbard is a guy that they're going to zero in on. And you know, Sweat might still be in play. It depends on the medicals and all that, like we've already touched on. But yeah, I just there's too many ties there. Position of need, a guy that you can come in and groom. You don't necessarily need him every snap of this season. I would not like it, just to go on the record there. I'm pro Josh Sweat there. It just doesn't seem like John Robinson values athleticism that much. He values more of production. And we've only seen one true edge pick outside of a couple late rounders, and that was, of course, Kevin Dodd, and he wasn't the most athletic guy, but he got home to the quarterback a bunch his senior year at Clemson. So, yeah, I think they do move. I don't know with who. Indianapolis is a team with a lot of picks. If they see a guy sitting at 25 that they want to come up and get, that could happen. You know, you've already touched on the Giants. Cleveland could move back up if they see a guy. It's really hard to project, but I do think John Robinson's going to try. But, you know, it's funny. I felt a lot better about just saying Josh Sweat last week than I do right now. It seems a lot more open. So I guess John Robinson did his job with his press conference on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm with you. I mean, I think the best case scenario is they are able to trade down. But it's just so hard. It's so hard to predict that and so hard to know who will be there and all that kind of stuff. What we're both still saying is they're not going to take a tight end at 25.
No.
And it's still, you know, there's still some buzz out there about that among the different, you know, draft quote analysts. So we'll see. But, you know, if you see us like disappear off of social media and in the podcast and in MusicMiracles.com, if we shut all that down, Titans take a tight end at 25 and we're just really, really wrong. But I can't see it, man. And it's been a theme that we've seen as we've gone. I mean, from the beginning of this whole process on, because, I mean, what Kuiper, was it Kuiper or McShay won?
Both of them.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they've given. I mean, from start to finish, they've given them a tight end and different guys even at 25. But that's not going to happen. That's another, you know, quote bold prediction of this whole thing is that, I mean, I don't even know if they'll take a tight end in this draft, but it's definitely not going to be at 25. So yeah. Anyways, I mean, you know, like I said, it's a different world that we're living in. Obviously, one that we hope to stay in for a while because it means your team's having success. But to talk about picks. You know, 25 down. It means you went to a playoff game. It means you won a playoff game, and so that's obviously a good thing. But it just makes the conversation leading up to it so much harder to really pin down. And again, the other thing too is John Robinson's done a really good job with this roster of, you know, not having any glaring holes outside of edge rusher. And you know, we've talked about this a lot too, but you don't fix edge rusher in free agency. I mean, you look at, you know, they brought in Brian Reichpo as a free agent, but he had a lot of injury concerns, so that was kind of the reason he hit the market. That's worked out very well for them, obviously. But, you know, outside of a guy that has some type of question marks, you don't find those guys there. So you have to find them in the draft. And they've had a bunch of needs the last few years, and so that they've gone a different direction. So that's kind of why they're left with that. But it's a good place for the Titans to be, and like I said, it does make the draft season a little bit more boring, just because you don't really know what to talk about, and you don't know how it's going to play out. But I'll take that over, you know, having a perennial top 10 pick.
And just to kind of build off what you were saying there about fixing the edge spot. You don't really fix the edge spot in the second round or later either. I mean, you got Arakpo and Morgan, both first-round picks. You see those elite athletes come off the board quick. That's why we're so high on Josh Sweat, because you've got that elite athlete potentially falling to you at 25 or later. You've just got the concerns there with production, playing out of place, and medically. So, I'm very much still on that train of fixing this edge spot. But, you know, John Robinson has a much better pulse on this draft than we do. So if he's got a feel that Sweat's going to last there, you know, I don't think we mentioned this. Mike Mayock had Sweat 91st on his top 100. So that's crazy, for considering the amount of hype that we've heard, from the Sweat camp over the last month, really. So maybe we're too high on him. Maybe he's going to go lower. But if I'm John Robinson, that's still my guy. I got to get some athletes on the edge there to potentially take over for Morgan or Arakpo next season.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think we're kind of on the same page there. So, all right, here's our plan for the rest of the week. This is Tuesday night, so this podcast, I'm sure, will hit Wednesday morning. Don't plan on recording one Wednesday night unless anything, you know, major happens. But then we'll give you an episode Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. You know, recapping, obviously, first round Friday night, second, third on first round Thursday night, second, third Friday night, and then the rest of the draft on Saturday. So we'll kind of walk you through all that. Undrafted free agents, all that stuff will happen Saturday afternoon after the draft. So we'll cover all that over the next couple of days. So stay tuned for that. Subscribe to the podcast, Locked On Titans again. Search it wherever you get your podcast. Get the new episodes as soon as they're available. And then, like I said, check out the site, museummiracles.com. We'll have a ton of content between now and then obviously as the draft plays along. Anything else, Terry, we need to hit before we sign off?
I don't think so.
All right, so that'll do it. This is our last episode before we will know who the Titans have picked in the first round. So hopefully we'll – yeah, maybe. Maybe not. And maybe they won't pick in the first round. Who knows? I mean, there's, like I said, a lot of question marks, a lot of stuff up in the air here. But this is a fun time of the year. And obviously, you know, all this process leads up into, you know, 3 days that are just really fun to watch, especially if you're a diehard NFL fan like we all are. So, like I said, stay plugged in, museummiracles.com. At Jay Morris MCM, at Team Lambert FB. We're bringing you the most up-to-date stuff there. And like I said, look for new episodes pretty much all weekend. So for Terry, this is Jimmy saying thanks for listening to Locked On Titans, and we will talk to you on Thursday night.